Siren Radio.
The human machine, the creativity gene, the zen of skiing, the importance of co-creation, the changing styles of inspiration. If you're listening, Robin Pierce, we may get to one or more of those as the program proceeds. Who knows? We'd love to actually say you can access us via Facebook as well. But Facebook will be back soon, where we're being told Facebook is down for required maintenance right now. But you should be able to get back on within a few minutes. Well, that's a lie. I've been trying for about 45 minutes. Maybe it's just me. Maybe Ben can sort the whole thing out. You know,
I've done it with Sam Perdue upstairs and didn't have any luck.
No, zero. Zilch. No. Diddly squat. But the great news is, Anna, we can cope without Facebook, can't we?
I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, I think Facebook has become more than an addiction. It's become
Well, I say we can because we have brought a new friend to the Midweek Drive. We have got my friend, Hammy Hamster. He's been working so hard doing various jingles and various other factors. And if we all sort of say very well, I'll actually sort of get him to say your word, hopefully, and say something just for yourself, Anna. Hello, Anna Lewis. Brilliant. Just brilliant.
That is extraordinary.
Hello, Ben.
That wasn't... What's he doing?
Hello, Bethany. Yeah, she's just crazy. I mean, you know, what's not to love about that? I mean, talk to him, he will respond in kind. Eloise, just say hello, hello, Eloise.
That's the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen.
Well, there we are, and I think a Julie...
Can we get rid of that and then put Facebook back on? Can we swap them back, please?
We were saying that back in the day, Anna, and the fun we're having in the studio is just quite phenomenal. We need to sort of, you know, calm him down. He gets very excited for a hamster. Quite clearly, in terms of
a
hamster. Yes. How often we wish we could actually do that with various things. Just switch that button off for a moment. But he's been working very hard, and I feel that as long as we've got Hamster with us, then somehow the show will continue ever onwards. So that's great. So where are you at present, Anna? Are you still at home?
I'm at home. I've been victim of the chiro practitioner this morning, and I have to say, practitioners are worth their weight in gold. I somehow managed to do something to my shoulder, and I couldn't even get my coat on this morning. So I trotted off into Richmond and pulled and tugged and twisted and cracked, and I feel a little bit better. So I'm taking it easy.
Well, so you should, because, you know, clearly at the end of the day, you need to be on top form whenever you're actually dealing with all manner of other bits and pieces, particularly when you're actually trying to find a telephone number to actually sort of say, no, we're actually on air, so therefore we can't take calls. You know, that sort of buzzing away.
There'll be another 10 calls in the next 4 minutes, I think.
that's a life thing. So what sort of things would you like to put to the team, Anna? A terrific trio. We've got Ben, we've got Bethany, we've got Eloise, all of whom are wrestling with the final stages of their dissertations in one case, it's creative block for about a week, Bethany, I believe.
Yeah,
strong week of writing nothing. Ben, well, you're kind of shaping it up, really, although sometimes you think
coming along.
And Eloise?
I've done all the plans, but I'm just staring at them.
So Anna, you know, what is your advice? Because many other students probably, you know, might be sort of thinking, or their parents, or their loved ones, or various other things might be sort of thinking, yeah, how do we cope with respect to the dissertation process? In fact, you know, I'll just to sort of set the scene, how do we cope with dissertations? What's not to love? I tell you, what is not to love? Anna, what is your solution?
When I did mine, which was 1996, I had to get an extension because, to be quite honest, I think I bit off more than I could chew with the subject I did my dissertation on. But I think you have to kind of be realistic and pace yourself. And what I did at the end of mine, which I don't know is whether it's still doable, is I got a good friend to read it through. Because sometimes there are some howlers that you might not realise, like grammatical mistakes.
Apostrophe challenges, syntax errata.
I mean, and even if it's just to give you a pat on the back or a pat of reassurance, I think giving it to someone else to read as an overnight project is actually quite helpful. It you know, you don't feel as if you're totally on your own when you do that. So that's what I'd suggest. But no, just embrace it and just think that, you know, this is you bearing your soul to the...
If you don't have a friend, ask your favourite Hammy Hamster. He'll respond.
Don't.
I can see, Ben, that this is, you know, you've got to embrace the love. You've got to embrace the love.
What is there to embrace?
Spike.
It's far too squeaky. It's far too...
feel that the novelty's already worn off.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. Anyway, we'll carry on regardless. So the advice, get a good friend. Does that help, Eloise?
No, it doesn't. Oh. Unless they're just, it doesn't. I'm just going to still stare at it.
Yeah. Bethany?
Well, once I've written it, that
once
will be helpful.
It, exactly.
Halfway.
And Ben?
Yeah, I think it does to a certain extent. In terms of, I completely get what you mean, and I do it anyway, running it past several eyes just to... check for article errors.
He doesn't
also,
trust his tutor, that's the key thing. Well,
that's the thing, my tutor being Alex, funny enough. It's one of those things that you've got to, I think, not just with dissertation, but any essay or anything that you've written, you just want someone to have a reassuring look over to make sure you've done everything correctly.
And that's the way forward. We're going to try and reach William Coles, who may well be in Ongadin. Congratulations, William. He's done very well. And I think everything's pretty much set. I mean, in case you want a little treat for, of course, a Bill, then, as Hammy actually said earlier. Genius, you see, so
wow.
he was on.
This is annoying me. We're what, 8 minutes 17 seconds into the show?
Well, he's done one for you as well, Ben, but we might not play it today.
Have you done one for everyone?
Well, Bethany and Eloise have heard theirs, clearly, and we'll come through a variety of other bits of pieces. When you say everyone, obviously there are 7 billion people.
I'd love
people
to hear William Sitwell's comments on it.
Yeah. Hammy wasn't too happy with William, so he hasn't done one as yet for William.
Hammy's a vegan, is he?
As most hamsters are. You know, it's a definite way forward. Anyway, Bethany, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna Lewis, please?
Anna, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have today, thank you.
Brilliant. And would you like to join us again sometime?
It would be lovely, thanks.
And if we gave you a choice of Nirvana or Pinky and Perky, where would you go? Nirvana, Pinky and Perky.
Well, Pinky and Perky reminds me of the hamster, so I'm going to have to go with Pinky and Perky, please.
Okay, well, again, we break it down a little bit further, because Pinky and Perky have come up with three. These were Danish people, actually, you know, small puppeteers,
okay.
Did very well. Run, Rabbit, Run, okay, that's one little number. The classic and quite emotionally overwhelming, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?
Oh, yes.
Or The Ugly Duckling, where are you going to go?
Oh, no, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, please?
I think you're absolutely right.
That one.
So, tissues at the ready. Here it comes.
I must take a trip.
I hope your mother appreciates the lengths to which we will actually go to entertain our listener in so many ways.
It is.
And as we said, Hammy had prepared this specially, a new member of the Midweek Drive. Of course, we got Abigail, Ben and Eloise in the studio, but just for our next guest.
Congratulations, Ben Cole, on another successful ski marathon.
Yeah, did you appreciate that, Bill?
Yes, I did. It sounded like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, chipmunks often confused with hamsters, and we love them, obviously, but at the end of the day, there is only one Hammy Hamster. In fact, we'll actually just get him to actually speak to you now. If I just actually say the words, hello, Bill Coles.
Hello, Bill Coles.
There you are. So, what do you ask?
Excuse me.
Wait, yeah. Can you come and take this toy off him? It's doing my head in. It's doing all my heads in.
How many other animals have you got doing it? Have you got anything else apart from a hamster?
You've got plenty of mascots, haven't you, mate?
Well, we have Batgirl, we have obviously Spike, but at the end of the day, and there's Rocket Raccoon, Bancher, who I haven't actually worked our way through that. I don't speak about that. He's already spoken for.
He's gone.
He's too busy actually dealing with sort of doors that are ajar. in all sorts of other issues, let's go back to the serious moment of Brexit and how we cope with that. Bill, you did it. And yet, those darn Europeans didn't award you for, I mean, share with us, because, I mean, I was gutted when I saw this on Facebook. I thought, what the heck is going on, really?
I've just come back from a ridiculous ski marathon, the Engadine Ski Marathon in Switzerland, with not many skills at cross-country skiing. But anyway, I had a bit of pluck, and I'd been down to the gym a few times. So unfortunately, I missed a cut-off time at one of the last cut-offs. But anyway, I carried on going through. They took my tag off, and I soldiered on to the end where there were three kids all wanting to give me a medal. Mm-hmm. So although I'm not an official finisher, I did get three medals from these three kids.
Yeah, but, you know, how do we cope with that? I mean, Eloise, I mean, you know, you've done all that, and then there are timing irregularities, and then suddenly it's a case of you get the medals, then you're medalled, then you're unmedalled.
I'd have probably cried.
Yeah, it's like getting your first-class honours, and then having it taken away from you. Yeah, getting your photo book set, take it away from you. Yes.
Getting a hamster, taking it away from you.
Please.
I will say those words one more time, and I'm sure Hammy will actually agree with me. It's very sad.
Very sad.
This is going to keep you going a long time.
Oh, you know, suddenly I feel as though the midlife crisis can be put off for a few more years. Anyway, it's a way, believe me, Ben, you want to have quality materials in quality cars, yeah, and automobiles, luxury brands. You should have a hamster in every car.
I guess.
Just check out the Facebook videos. Well, actually, the YouTube ones. Facebook has, sorry, something went wrong. Yeah, it all started back in the day when you came up with the idea, Mr. Zuckerberg. Never mind, that's a different line entirely. Bethany, any questions you'd like to put to the Kohlsmeister about how he copes with those occasional moments where he's looking at a page, and as a creative novelist and a wonderful romantic novelist and screenwriter, he might be thinking, there's just nothing there.
I've got a major case of writer's block at the moment. How do you get over that?
I can tell you one thing, Bethany, you do not want to sit there looking at the empty screen. You want to get out and walk. Walking is, first of all, you've got to get outside, and it's particularly good if it's raining or windy. Running is okay, but walking is generally just better. And you don't even have to think about the particular plot problem that you've got, because suddenly it will all come to you. Don't sit inside and stare at a screen, though. There's my brilliant
harsh tip. Words.
No, that's good advice.
But it's worth thinking about.
Definitely.
You know, get oot and a boot, you know, as they'd say in Scotland. Oot and a boot.
Or do a ski marathon.
I mean, I think I prefer walking, just for now. We'll start small, we'll walk. Maybe ski.
Does that resonate with yourself, Eloise?
That would probably help. I just sit there and stare at my 17 words that I've written the entire day.
There's another one, Bill. You know, sits there and stare. Can we share in those 17 words? Can we guess them? Is one of them the?
To be honest, I don't even remember.
If nothing else, you could add to the words with, have you got any questions? I mean, that's always good. Moment, pause. Ben?
I tend to... Well, I mean, a walk does help, don't get me wrong, but I also find occupying myself with other things helps as well. So if there's another task I need to do, go and do something, or, you know, a bit of cleaning or anything like that, and often you'll find yourself thinking about it in the back of your head, and something might come to you. But I'd probably have to agree, walking is probably the best one.
Anyway, we'll be talking to Adrian Tchaikovsky in a few moments.
The northern version of Tchaikovsky, is it?
Yeah, Arthur Swan, yeah. That's the key thing. Adrian Tchaikovsky, who might have some other thoughts on the whole issue relating to writer's block, or not as the case may be, but just writing stuff, because Bethany, we'll get you through this.
Thank you.
We're seeing it
appreciate
as our, exactly, it's there, it will happen. Do we find you actually still in Engadine, William?
No, I'm back in Scotland, in the frozen wastes of the north.
So, I mean, I've got to ask this question. What were the views of the Swiss people when you said, I am from Scotland in the United Kingdom, soon to be separate from Europe, maybe, then again, maybe not, we don't know. Can we have an extension?
They couldn't care less, because they're not a part of Europe either.
Exactly. We can be the Swiss,
Switzerland
sort of folk from that point of view. It's a definite thought there. Hey-ho. Ben, any questions you want to put to the Kohlsmeister, as we said?
Yes. So, obviously, we're coming up to, I'd say spring, summer. Are there any places in Scotland you'd recommend people booking to visit if they were going to visit over summer?
Lewis, the Isle of Lewis is the place with the greatest walks in the whole of Britain, apparently. You've got the whole place to yourself. The only problem with walking in Lewis is if you want a pint at the end of your walk. There are pretty Presbyterian there and not that many pubs. But anyway, Lewis is the place if you like walking, and you might even get over your writer's block.
They have a good whiskey there, I think, as well.
We bought a bottle
because obviously my surname's Lewis, so we kind of thought we like the familiarity.
It's spooky. Spooky.
It comes in a red sort of a red label.
In fact, in many ways, there are so many times where we see Ben Lewis. Sorry, the hamster's getting out of control. He likes to do air guitar, that's all. He gets bored, he does a bit of air guitar. It's the way forward. There was the line that Ben and Leona, twins separate at birth. You know, you got the own Lewis, bleeding love, and you got Ben Lewis bleeding the station. It's two
very different entities.
Splendid. Did you answer the question?
Yes, he did. Isle of Lewis. That's why we ended up talking about Lewis, Alex.
I was looking ahead to Ghosts of Social Networks, who are a Manchester-based band. They've been turning heads since arriving on the United Kingdom music scene. Previous singles have received multi-shirt support on BBC Six Music and BBC Introducing. And Nathan Till, the creative force behind GOSN, Ghosts of Social Networks, is joined by a whole range of folk. He's going to be joining us on the programme, a band that takes inspiration from artists like The Cure, Bauhaus, 100 Years of Bauhaus, in case you're wondering, popped quite for that point of view ever since the German art movement started in their own way. Echo and the Bunnymen and more, as well as acts like Nick Cave, The National, and so on. But I know, William, you are very excited by that, but at the same time, you're waiting for Eloise to throw those last two questions at you. Over to you, Eloise.
Yeah, I am.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have. Thank you so much for asking.
You're welcome. And will you be joining us again sometime?
I certainly will, thank you.
Makes it all worthwhile, that basis makes it all worthwhile. What do you think? I mean, we're going to speak to Nathan Till from Ghost of Social Networks. Do you want to hear My Lucifer, or would you like to have some Nirvana? What do you think, Bethany?
My Lucifer sounds very dark. Did you say My Lucifer?
My Lucifer, yeah.
Sounds dark, I'm intrigued, let's go with that.
Technically, Lucifer, bringer of light.
Oh.
But he also was the devil, so Beelzebub.
Well,
so,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, don't be. You know, Lucifer wasn't. Well, he was actually, because obviously he was cast down from heaven.
It's just,
he probably actually was just trying to do a Brexit. That's all.
Very
and there's a cold area of. There's a cold circle, as indeed Donald Tusk would have said. Donald Tusk, nothing to do with Fleetwood Mac and Tusk. William, it's been awesome once again. Here's My Lucifer.
Thank you.
Home to go.
Ghosts of Social Networks, My Lucifer. And we are now delighted to be able to welcome to the programme from Ghosts of Social Networks. Maybe you can explain why Facebook isn't working these days. It is the one and only Nathan. How are you, Nathan?
I'm very well. How are you?
You know, okay. I mean, it's one of those things where, to be honest, I thought maybe just actually loading up Ghosts of Social Networks into the machine and instantly Facebook collapses. It's spooky. It's one of those things where you think, this is...
It might be a jinx. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, does Mark Zuckerberg know? Can you actually sort of, you know, threaten him and say, we're not going to... Talk to us about My Lucifer. How did you come up with the idea? Is it anything to do with the angel who was cast out of heaven and actually became the Lord of the Underworld?
Yeah, it's definitely about him. Kind of my version of Losing My Religion by R.E.M. Oh. So I was brought up as a Jehovah's Witness, and it took me a while to escape the religion, and the song portrays it as a kind of changing sides and suddenly realizing that, you know, not everything's evil and that the devil, Lucifer's not evil and it's okay to be...
He's fairly naughty, though.
Not believing God.
I mean, if I was actually asked, you know, do you want to actually feature Lucifer on the show, I'd say, I don't think so, somehow. You know, he's a bit naughty, really, in a kind of Dante-esque routine.
He's misunderstood, I think.
Does he have all the best tunes? Is that what it's all about?
Yeah, definitely. He has all the fun, that's why. Yeah,
well, I suppose life is never boring. Personally, I'll stick with my hamster. But anyway, let's open it up. In the studio, we have three fabulous folk. Ben, what did you make of Ghosts of Social Networks and Lucifer?
I actually thought it was quite a good song. I mean, it's not my specific genre I really like, but I can certainly say from a sort of a rock, sort of heavy rock genre, I think that's a really good song. I really enjoyed it, actually. And I think it certainly had a really good beat to it and was really actually quite engaging to listen to.
Eloise.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. Not something I'd listen to now because my music taste has changed, but when I was younger I would have played that on a loop.
If on the other hand, Nathan, you fancy doing a version of Memories Are Made of This by Dean Martin in a Ghosts of Social Network way, Eloise will be straight down the...
Number one fan.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, it's a line.
I don't know that song.
What?
Doesn't know memories of...
I'm offended.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave me. You can't beat memories you gave me.
I think it was a better version of that.
Oh, I think so. Bethany.
Yeah, I really liked it. I'll listen to anything, to be honest.
That's not the best way to say it.
No, that's not what I mean.
Careers at stake here, Bethany. You can't turn around and say, I'll listen to anything.
I listen to all different genres, and from that genre, I could definitely see that being on one of my playlists. That's what I meant.
There we are. So it's looking good. And obviously, first up, looking for the challenge from that point of view. Given that you've already had top support from BBC Six Music, BBC Introducing and so on, what does the future have in store for Ghosts of Social Networks? You're not going to fade away. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist it, Nathan. Apologies. I just carry on.
What's coming up? I've got some shows... arranging some shows late May, 17th of May, I'm playing the Flapper in Birmingham, 1st of June, the Castle Hotel in Manchester. I'm releasing a second track off the EP called Don't Let Me Down. It's coming out probably in about 4 weeks' time, so I'll forward that on to you for review again if you're willing.
That's always great. Yeah. Hats off to Nico Macarinelli, who's on drums, Andrea Gobby, who's on bass, and John Miles. Is it the John Miles? Surely not. On guitar. If you have, actually, it's nice. It's a super group that John Miles has actually signed up for the whole thing. The live act is absolutely awesome. Just in terms of Ghosts of Social Network and talking about religion, etc., if you're in Manchester, clearly there are two club sides there. Do you follow either of them, or is it a case of, no, you go completely neutral?
Yeah, I'm a tourist. I'm originally from Wolverhampton, so if anything, it's Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Really?
I moved to Manchester 7 years ago.
Well, we hope Wolves actually do the business in the FA Cup quarterfinal.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Exactly.
They're eighth in the league now.
I'm now detecting that whiskey. Now, for a moment, I thought it was classic Mancunian, but no, he's getting back into the
Copatale.
Yeah,
when I say I'm from Manchester,
Wolf's twang,
and actually start talking. Yeah,
it helps on that. Ben, any questions you'd like to put to Nathan?
Yeah, so kind of taking, you know, from your inspiration of this song, what was your biggest kind of
What made you want to write this music? And what, I know we spoke about religion initially, but in terms of were there any other artists that
Jehovah's
provided...
Witness, no Christmas. You know, you can't have Christmas at all. It doesn't exist. Gone.
But were there any other artists that perhaps provided you that inspiration, that sort of stepping stone to wanting to go into the full music world?
Yeah. Why did you do anything? As soon as I listened to OK Computer when I was 13, it just blew my mind. A lot of the synthesizer sounds are from that kind of era, and it's a homage to that era of music. OK Computer, Hail to the Thief. But I don't know the reason for the song. It's just like cathartic.
Yeah, which at the end of the day,
that's what you write.
Music is all about that. Well, it's one of four entries into this evening's, in fact, the first ever spring song contest challenge that we're actually having. We've had a very successful December winter challenge. It's the first time we've actually opened this up for spring. They've all got a rock aspect. We've got Rats coming up, of course. We've got Nine Dart Finish and the Sentin Bombs. But for the moment, Nathan, thank you for taking part in the whole production. We've, of course, got to find out what our Welsh correspondent is going to make of it, because he'll be listening, hopefully, in Wales. Normally we'd find out because he would actually update us on social media.
Perhaps. Okay. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been a delight. Can we have a round of applause, please, for Nathan Till from Ghost of Social Networks? Excellent.
Thank you.
The positivity that goes from Lincoln to Wolverhampton via Manchester is awesome. Quite frankly, awesome. So much time, so much joy, so much energy that's going through. It's a Midweek Drive on Siren Radio. And in case you're wondering, it's the 13th of March 2019, and it's nearly 25 to 6. And we simply will say, let's bring back Hammy and utter those immortal words. Yes, shh, around the studio. Hello, Abigail LeMay. Abigail is back with us, and that Abigail is your first chance of actually saying hello to Hammy Hamster. So, yeah, success.
Oh my gosh! I'm so sad. I'm missing this.
Don't be.
Abigail,
you're not missing anything.
Stay away.
Now, Eloise, you're quite taken with the hamster, are you not?
I think he's great. I love him.
Our talking hamster, who I mean, he actually says, "Ben, I don't care what you think."
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Abby, I'll send you a picture so you know what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thank you. So the message is there.
Daft.
So whereabouts in Spain do we find your good self at this present moment in time, Abigail? And are you
siesta?
Actually, yeah, and would it be a case of, I don't know, about 4 a.m. in the morning, you're going to go out and sort out any kind of non-politically correct thinking people in the Spanish routine after you've returned from a fast food restaurant? No, surely not.
No. Well, right now I'm actually in the gift shop of, what is this called? The Sagrada Familia.
Sagrada Familia.
Mm. It's the big basilica of Barcelona.
Oh.
It's beautiful. Oh, Sagrada Familia. Yes, I was right.
Yeah, it's the basilica from that point of view, which, of course, is a church. It's marvellous, and it works through that system, which, of course, wouldn't go down at Caldwell with Nathan Till. Or maybe it would. We don't know.
We're all Sagrada unfamiliar with it, aren't we?
Is this your first trip to Wales, Abigail?
This is my first trip to Barcelona, Spain, yes.
Did you just say Wales? Wales is very different to Spain. Where the hell did you get Wales from?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I realised...
And the fact Abigail just went on with it, as in, like, oh, it's just Wales, yeah.
Exactly. You know, always ever the professional, you see. He said Wales.
Wales? Where did you get Wales from?
It's so similar to Barcelona, let's just progress on that basis. Oh, well, never mind. I'll try you with another little line.
I think the hamster would have known Wales in the same Spain.
Maybe he's taking over my mind, slowly but surely. I'm becoming hamster brain, but still. little quick question for your good self. What is the most popular, I'll say that again, Abigail, and I'll open it up to Eloise and Bethany and Ben as well. What is the most popular owl that's frequently found in British households?
Oh, yeah.
The most popular?
Barn.
No. It's
Tui. Tall. Is it Tui owl? Is that what it's called?
No. It's the tea towel.
Oh.
So I just thought maybe the Aslan one was better.
Oh, actually, I was that seriously.
I knew he was joking.
Give me a proper response.
I thought he was joking.
What you thought about it?
Exactly.
Horrible. Yeah,
this Abigail is what Brexit can actually do to an otherwise sane and put together midweek drive team. Where's she got? What's she doing? Did she just say, "Oh, shut up, there"? What's going on, Abigail? Are you all right?
Oh yes, I'm fine. Sorry.
Yes.
There's quite a bit of people over here.
Yeah, well, that's probably okay. I just
really woken them from their siesta.
Exactly. It is. Actually, currently in Spain, it's coming around to 25 minutes to
get up for dinner.
Yes, exactly. It is. It's nearly 7 o'clock. Eloise, questions for Abigail for yourself. Or from yourself, even.
No. She knows that I'm useless at this.
That's okay. Bethany.
Abigail, we miss you.
Yeah, there we are.
That's not a question.
We miss you. No, I do have a question for you. Have you been to see the Gaudi sculptures yet?
No, I have not. We haven't had much to do. It was raining all this morning, and we got in really late yesterday because our flight was delayed. So this is basically all we've had to do yet.
You need to go and see them.
Well, I'll put it on my list.
They're supposed to be amazing.
And do you want Hammy to actually say those?
No.
Honestly, I think it's fine.
I think just for one. Abigail, we miss you.
Hurry back, please, Abigail. Please.
Yeah, so I don't know. A sort of vibrating hamster.
You've had a midlife crisis, haven't you? You've had a midlife crisis.
Ah, you say midlife crisis. Some people might say it's just coming round in circles in all sorts of marvellous ways.
I've never seen that before, though. So it's really? not clearly coming around in circles.
No, is that not the case?
No.
What has been your favourite part of your experience to Spain so far, Abigail? Has it been the fact that it looks nothing like Wales?
Honestly, I mean, being that the Sagrada Familia is the only place I've been, I would have to say it's this beautiful basilica.
Right. Very good.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. But you know what? Does it hold a candle to the Lincoln Cathedral?
I see what she did there. Hold a candle to the Lincoln Cathedral. Both religious scenarios, both have candles in both ways. Very good.
How many candles? Four candles.
Yeah.
Does the girl get that joke? Two Ronnies.
Abigail will not be familiar with the two Ronnies. Don't go there. Don't go there. So, Abigail, will you be back with us next week?
Oh, of course I will.
Bye. marvellous, because we've signed up various times and dates for your first trip to either Scarborough or Sheffield, or both, who knows, very exciting, end of March, and local great relocation reports, etc. And what's the next question that we usually put at this stage, Eloise?
The normal two.
Yes.
Yes, okay, good, I got that right then.
We've asked one of them.
Will you be joining us again sometime soon?
Next week.
Next one.
We didn't actually ask her, has she had an enjoyable telephone chat?
Yeah, it went a little bit backwards.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's the dissertation and my 17 words.
17 English words.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Of course I have.
Marvellous. And we will actually leave you with, well, what shall we leave you? I don't know. Should we go Donovan? Should we actually go to... there's so many delightful things.
Donovan?
Yes.
Jason Donovan.
No. I'm Jason Donovan.
It's slightly different to the rock we've had in the last two songs. It's a bit of Nirvana and this other...
Oh, well, you know.
Nathan Till.
Oh, what the hay, in the end we'll go Fleetwood Mac because...
Yeah.
Because
there we can. Go.
Okay,
there
we go. Because we can. Rhiannon and Fleetwood Mac, and it brings us neatly round to 5:45, which means, of course, that it's time for the news from Siren, because that's what we do at 5:45 on a weekday, and here it jolly well comes. And the words simply are pretty and green.
1980s. That was when the Jam had That's Entertainment, and that was Pretty Green from That's Entertainment. Online now, as promised, lead singer with respect to Rats. It's Chris. How are you, Chris?
Hi, how you doing? You're...
We're very good indeed. Now, this is a newly formed garage grunge three-piece from London, and we're about to listen to a staggering just shy of 3 minutes blaster with a chorus you can instantly imagine being screamed by many a lung from behind the drawn 3 a.m. curtains of a closed backstreet boozer. Is that what you had in mind when you came up with this little number?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that exactly, but yeah, it is pretty much, I guess it is.
Okay. Okay, well, I mean, we're going to chat. I mean, in the studio, we've got Ben Lewis.
Hello.
We've got...
Hello.
Bethany Gulliver.
Hello.
And we've got Eloise Sheehan.
Hi.
And they're going to be casting their critical ear over this particular number. Would you like to introduce it?
Yep. This track is called Twig and Thread by Rats.
Twig and Thread by Rats.
A whale with Twig and Thread. Although I wouldn't try it at home. Could be quite difficult, depending on the whale, of course. Exactly. So, bemusement, I think, is, apart from enjoyable bemusement, but bemusement is the overriding theme that the Midweek Dramatists are kind of faced with, because I believe Bethany confused about the lyrics.
Yeah, I just thought they were quite abstract, but that's more intriguing. That's good, I think.
So, it's a thumbs
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you'll get more song. Engagement from the...
Ben, have you ever tried to use Twig and Thread to catch a whale?
Not quite, but what is the story behind it, if you don't mind me asking?
It's kind of like a sort of Springsteen-esque sort of a story about a couple in the face of adversity sort of succeeding, really. And, yeah, it's just an analogy for that, really. Yeah, in the face of adversity, really.
Springsteen, as in a grunge movement, Springsteen, so maybe Springsteen without the Clarence Clemons, but, you know, getting down in the sort of garage mode from that point of view. Eloise?
I was just wondering about the band itself. How long have you been going?
It's about 6 months now we've been going together in this band. I was in a band previously for a number of years. But yeah, sort of a two good friends. They were in sort of one of the guys was in the band formerly of me. Another the drummer has basically been in various bands. So yeah, we just sort of came together and sort of started this about 6 months ago.
While the other upstarts quietly compare their vapes in the corner, rats are sliding out ashtrays, beckoning you to smoke. Not very healthy, really, is it? Not a healthy sort of line to take, but strangely really. Appealing. Strangely appealing. Bethany, any questions for yourself?
Yeah, what's the writing process like? Do you write the songs like together as a group or just individually?
It's just myself that writes. Basically, I flesh most of it out and then go to the studio with the guys and then just they add their parts and stuff afterwards. But yeah, it's predominantly myself that sort of writes the songs sort of thing on my own.
And inspirations, Chris, in terms of, is it a case of, you know, any fag that's out there, I can actually sort of do some inspiring on, basically, a sort of fag end somewhere?
It's very, what, for this track in particular?
Well, any track.
All right, okay. Just generally, really, I like observational stuff. I take a lot of, like, lyrics and stuff from conversations had with people out, friends and stuff like that. Sort of all constantly making notes on my phone and stuff. Yes, pretty much just like observational stuff that I draw the inspiration for the lyrics from.
On Friday the 5th of April, the world is going to be a bit better place because rats are performing at the Monarch in Camden, North London. Don't go south of the river after midnight, but it's going to be awesome. And are tickets still available for that, or do you just turn up at the door?
Turn up at the door, it's actually free entry. There's three bands on, so it's and then yeah, it sort of turns into a club night afterwards. So it's always really well attended, and it's a good crowd generally. So it's a good night. So yeah,
Eloise,
it's actually the same date as the single gets released on that day as well.
So people can actually see you perform and obviously download Twig and Thread.
Yeah, we've got there's actually a B-side on there as well. It's a Tom Waits song, but sort of done in not done on the piano. Let's put it that way.
I couldn't see that. Eloise, you're intrigued by the name Rats, specifically the double T, I believe.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay, that's very nice. Gay for the question. And in fact, Bethany would like to actually wear her English. So Eloise is far too honest there. Carry on.
We were both discussing. We're just wondering why that is.
Rats. My name's Chris Barrett. It's just simple as that. It's just half my name.
Wow.
I wish there was a bit of a better story than that.
No, that's good. There's always a story.
It shows the quality. Listen, assuming they're not down, because we don't know, it could be the end of everything as far as Facebook concerned. We may never see it ever again. Is that a bad thing? How can people use the socials, so to speak, the social media, to get in touch with Rats?
So it's Facebook and Instagram. We're on at RatsBand. So it's, RatsBand.
Facebook, social media, Rats Band, and RATTS, no doubt.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Because otherwise you could find all sorts of bubonic plague device coming out of the system, which wouldn't be good at all. Chris, it's been great speaking to your good self today. Have you enjoyed your time on the Midweek Drive?
I have. Thanks very much for having me on. Cheers, guys.
That's all thank you. For us. Yes, exactly. Thank you for creating wonderment and artistic genius that we can actually comment on and actually sort of develop in all sorts of ways. So will you be back again in the very near future?
Yes. Whenever, yeah, good shout, definitely. Love
that's
to.
Marvellous. I was thinking for a moment there, maybe actually doing some more Pinky and Buggy, but really one Pinky and Buggy track is enough. Bethany, any particular message you'd like to put out for your family who may be tuned in and listening to this at this moment, assuming they haven't been put off by various sort of off-air comments from our hamster and so on?
Well, I hope they carry on listening despite the hamster's interruptions.
What do you think?
There we go. There we go.
I know. I don't know, actually. Maybe, actually.
Please,
I think Chris deserves this, actually. So I'll just get you to actually say...
Like you don't want listeners.
Bye-bye, Chris Barrett. I think you got the message, Chris. Was that
yeah,
good?
Yeah.
It's heartwarming, really. I mean, I think you put that on, mix that into Twig and Thread, and I think you can have a winner on your hands.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks for that.
Well, you know, it's a way forward. It's what we call, you know, the sort of the helpful stuff there. You don't get that on The Voice.
I don't want another heartbreak. I don't need another turn to cry. No, I don't want to learn the hard way. Baby, hello. Oh, no. Goodbye, but you got me like a rocket shooting straight across the sky. said to Snow White, how does love get so off course? Oh, all I wanted was a white knight with a good heart, soft touch, fast horse. Ride me off into the sunset, baby, I'm forever yours. It's the way you love me, it's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion, it's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment, it's unthinkable. This kiss, unsinkable. This kiss. You can kiss me in the moonlight, on the rooftop, under the sky. Oh, you can kiss me with the windows open while the rain comes pouring inside. Oh, kiss me in sweet slow motion, let's let everything slide. You got me floating, you got me flying. It's the way you love me, it's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion, it's perpetual bliss.
So far on the Midweek Drive, we've had the Ghosts of Social Networks with their little number. We've also had the Joys of Rats. We've just heard, of course, Chris from Rats. Halfway through the little Spring Song Contest, I don't ask what our judges are actually finding about. Hopefully, Robin Pierce will be able to summarise and actually come up with a whole range of things later. But we now move on to Nine Dart Finish, in which it has been said both Kicking and Screaming and Charlie Bonkers have recently been played on several radio stations, including BBC Radio WM, Talk Radio, Switch, and so on. And with the words, "This Nine Dart Finish tune is fantastic," we are delighted to welcome to the production the awesome Andy. How are you, Andy?
Not too bad. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a connect. Always wonderful to connect with your good self. And we've also got another Wolverhampton connection here, because Nine Dart Finish actually recorded your album at Magic Garden Studios in Wolverhampton with Gavin Monaghan, amongst others.
That's right. We did. Yeah, the legendary Gavin is absolutely fantastic, Blake. Very talented guy. He's worked with all sorts of great people as well, from Ocean Colour Scene through to editors and all sorts of people. Paper Boys are a new band coming out of Birmingham at the moment. But he's a great guy. It's a really, really good place to work as well. Really nice creative vibe there. So, yeah, brilliant.
This is good. And now, of course, Nine Dart Finish with a wonderful tribute to the capital city of the United Kingdom, home of the Brexiteers. Only kidding, I know. it's London. Stay with us. We're going to talk with you after this. But would you like to introduce it, please, for the listener, please? Chris.
Brilliant. This is London, which is a song. It's about London. It sounds like we're saying it's great, but it's a bit sarcastic, really, because nobody thinks London's that great.
Well, this is the whole point. And actually, I was just having one of those moments when I referred to you as Chris. Well, of course, it's Andy. So, you know, it's clearly, you know, our co-producer was actually saying, sort our way through this. Nine Dart Finish, London.
Patronize and criticize in a very
I really want to go to London. Well, it's only 120 miles away. Let's go now. Round of applause, please, for the awesome nine-dot finish.
Woo!
Yay! And Andy in there, and we saw the video as well, Andy, because he gave us a link to the video, and energetic, and already, Eloise, you think you've got ideal places to feature nine-dot finish.
I really liked the song.
Yeah?
I did. I thought it had a bit of like, the darkness-esque to it.
Bit of the darkness.
Thank you very much.
Initially, I think there was a suggestion of the Zootons, but no, that was soon put to one side.
No, not Zootons. No, it was the opening beat. Sounded like the Amy Winehouse cover of Valerie.
That's interesting. I've always said it's a bit like the kind of the illegitimate child of the Clash and the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, I can see that.
Bethany.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was more upbeat than some of the others we've had today, so that's always good.
It's a winner, and I suggest it might be heading towards one of the lead things. Who knows? The revelation will obviously come out later on in the programme with Robin Pearce from Wales.
Glad you all like it. Thank you very much. Andy, we're back in the studio in about 3 or 4 weeks, actually, so new stuff will be coming later this year.
This is very good news. Now, in terms of nine-dart finish, are you ever tempted to say, 180? Jockey, this is what you would have won.
We do. We have all the dart puns. We don't really dwell on it. The reason we chose the name was more to do with it, the sort of pattern of the words and the way it flows off your tongue. And we wanted something that meant like the best as well, like sort of hat trick or, you know, winning goal or whatever. But nine-dart finish kind of ticks both boxes.
Exactly. You know, you couldn't get better than a nine-dart finish, to be honest. Exactly. I mean, you can see Jockey
Wilson. The epitome
Wilson,
of sport as well, isn't it? The pinnacle of sporting success is a nine-dart finish.
And it opens up so many lines from that point of view in terms of opportunities for the dart competitions and various other bits and pieces. How can people get in touch with you on the various social media that are actually out there, assuming they're functioning, which, as we identified, obviously isn't the case with respect to Facebook today?
Right, well, we are on Facebook. We've got a website, which is 9.finish.co.uk. We're on all of the social media, but on social media, we're NDF Music, so 9.finish Music, basically. But, so it's Facebook, NDF Music, YouTube, NDF Music, Twitter, Instagram. We're on every single one of those. But if you just go to 9.finish.co.uk, there's links to everything on there.
Well, that is absolutely fantastic. Now, Andy, you're our last official contributor in terms of the musical band. We spoke to Chris, obviously, from Rats, and Nathan from Ghosts of Social Networks. The Santon Bombs, obviously so confident, they haven't sent anybody in. No, we didn't actually ask. Could you please play it for us in any case? Now, I'm thinking, actually, when you talk about the Outsiders, and Robin Pearce might sort of go in for this, and possibly yourself as well, Andy, if you are an aficionado of comic books of the 1980s, because, of course, the original Outsiders comprised Geo-Force, Katana, Halo, and Looker, and later sort of joined by Black Lightning. They were sort of connected by Batman, of course. I somehow think this would make a great theme for the motion picture Outsiders, if it ever gets made. But for the moment, Andy from 9-Dart Finish, we salute you. Round of applause for Andy, please.
Thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate having me on.
And meanwhile, back with the Outsiders.
Some of us don't fit in. Some of us don't know how. Only so many misfits they'll allow. Out here on the air. Bruise a bitter storm, freedom for the few who can't conform. The underdogs will rise in a feast of blood and glory with surprise. Flying by the sea, cruising to the end. Belief in law and order we suspend. Outsiders. choice. No trace of God or country in our voice. When the law breaks in, how you gonna go? Resistance with persistence, nice and slow. Let's go. Outsiders ain't coming in. Outsiders, we ain't coming in. Outsiders ain't coming in. Outsiders, no, we ain't coming in. Mail. Invisible lines and judgment can't be felt. We stand out here together, we never have to hide. Feels good on the inside, on the outside. Outsiders ain't coming.
Outsiders by the Centen Bombs, or the Centen Bombs with Outsiders, a band who have been tipped by the likes of Classic Rock, Powerplay Magazine and Total Rock Radio to be one of the next breakout bands. Lead single, title track, a big, rebellious, unforgiving stomper. Outsiders, we ain't coming in. I still think it actually relates to the Batman and the Outsiders routine. What did we make of it in the studio, please, Eloise?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
Ben?
I found it quite interesting. I don't. For me personally, I preferred the other songs we played, but overall, it wasn't bad. Okay. I just don't think it was as good as the other songs that we have played earlier.
I see. Okay. And Bethany?
It was okay.
Well, again, we'll find out what the studio team think about that in the fullness of time when we speak to our Starburst lead writer, Robin Pierce, over in Wales. But now we turn to the awesomely talented and Arthur C. Clarke award-winning writer who will be present at the fantastic Sci-Fi Weekender. It's Adrian Tchaikovsky. How are you, Adrian?
I'm very well, thank you. Hello.
Good to welcome you back to the programme. Of course, since last we spoke, we say congratulations on your fantastic doctorate you received from the University of Lincoln back in January. So technically, it's Dr. Tchaikovsky.
Yes, I've got to say, it's a very weird thing to be awarded, and I kind of feel that it's not earned enough for me to use the title in an everyday conversation.
Oh, I don't know. We just have, really. I mean, so we'll work through that. And I think you should actually put that down immediately on the 29th or 30th of March at the O2 Academy in Sheffield Sci-Fi Weekender. You'll be there. We're excited by that. I'm even more excited, actually, by the fact that there's a sequel to Children of Time, which I've already pre-ordered. It's going to be so good. So the whole universe of Children of Time is going to be opened up into a whole wonderful new experience, Adrian.
Yes. I mean, when I wrote the original book, it was very much a standalone. But I always have some sort of hook, as anyone who's read it will know. There's sort of a lead on in the very final chapter that seems like it might go somewhere, and as it turned out, it actually has.
Excellent. Well, this is very helpful because we have three fine folk in the studio. Their names are Ben, Bethany and Eloise. And we'll speak to all of them in turn because they're undergraduates in their final year of degrees ranging from film and television studies, English through public relations. And two of them are having challenges with
writer's block, Adrian, writer's block with their dissertation. One is just staring at the screen and has been told by another writer to go out and walk about. Another has basically written 17 words and can't quite get over those as well. So, Adrian, if you don't mind sort of casting your... I mean, in many ways, it's a case of this is where we ask Dr. Tchaikovsky for some serious advice here. He's not a real doctor, but it's a way forward. Bethany, would you like to go first and explain your challenge?
I'm writing a creative writing dissertation. I've sort of reached a bit of a plot hole, so I'm sort of staring at the screen quite a lot, and I don't really know what to do about it. I don't know, what do you do when you've got writer's block? Or do you even ever get that?
It's, I mean, writer's block in the idea of just sitting staring at the screen and having no ideas come is not something I have, but plot holes is something I do run into. I mean, I try and do a lot of planning ahead of time. Yeah. To avoid it, but every so often I've kind of slipped up on my prep, as it were, and
I think that's ended where up I'm getting at, yeah.
Yeah, you end up getting halfway through the plot and you realise actually a lot of the stuff I'm relying on isn't going to logically yeah. work. And at that point, when it happened, I basically had to unpick things back to the point where I went off the rails. Oh. And sometimes you can kind of salvage chunks of what you've written, but if you've got it in your head, if some part of your head is telling you this isn't working, it's almost certainly true in my experience. Mm. So at that point, you probably do have to just backtrack.
Start all over again. Tough, but, you know, at the end of the day,
yeah.
tough
ideal.
Love is...
I mean, not necessarily to the beginning, but there'll probably be a point where things started yeah. going off the rail. But because we like to cling to things we've got, you can carry on going for quite a while before you finally have to accept that, actually, yeah, this isn't working.
Well, that will hopefully help, Bethany.
Back to the drawing board.
Okay. Does it help yourself, Eloise, at all? Those 17 words on the... I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, you have got that discussion with the sister of Gene Kelly?
His
ex-wife. Yeah. A former wife, exactly. One yeah. of these, exactly. So that's good.
My problem, I have written more than 17 words
good.
At the moment. I've yeah. done 3,017.
What, 3,017? Yes, okay.
The 17 today.
Yes.
My problem is I do like really quite in-depth plans, and my plans are the same amount of words as my word count, so now I have too much, and now I'm stressing and just staring at it. So.
The challenges of killing your children, Adrian. Killing your children. You've written these words yeah. down. How can you let them go?
Well, I mean, this is something I'm very, very prone to. I write very long, and then when it comes to the final, the first draft, I then end up usually having to cut a fair amount, either because I've spotted it myself or because it's something my agent has recommended. And, yeah, I mean, one of the things I've managed to do with my own writing is identify inefficient stylistic sort of quirks. For example, I had a tendency to describe everything twice in slightly different wording because I couldn't make up my mind when I was writing it which form of wording I preferred. And so I just put them both in. And it's amazing how many words you can cut just by thinning things out so that you're only saying exactly what you need to say.
Again, very important words there. Now, I'm looking at, clearly, Dogs of War, my own personal favourite, Adrian. Although it's nip and tuck between that and Children of Time. It has to be said that a number of people have recommended Dogs of War too, including Katie Dore. I'm very impressed with it. I thought it was absolutely outstanding. It's great stuff. The Expert Systems Brother, of course, we spoke about a few months ago. The Tiger and the Wolf series, the Echoes of the Fall scenario is just phenomenal from that point of view. Shadows of the Apt, of course. And you are top of the tree as far as authors are concerned. I know tomorrow morning we're actually doing a feature with Paul Finch, of course, who's written extensively. He used to be a police officer, and then he turned to writing and did a whole second one, actually. Arthur McKernsey, obviously, yeah, doing the same thing as well.
We know quite a few, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, Adrian, did you ever feel tempted to actually become a detective chief inspector somewhere before you... I suppose, actually, as a lawyer, there is a legal connection there, really. So, yeah.
Well, it was only ever civil law with me, so it's nothing quite that exciting.
It's still the law, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the law after a fashion, you know. So we work through all sorts of things. George Mann, of course, a good friend of the station, will be there as well. And where, of course, will you be? At the O2 Academy in Sheffield on Friday, 29th of March, and Saturday, the 30th of March. Now, this is our first ever Midwick Drive trek to the Sci-Fi Weekender with Sam Stone, of course, David J. Howe, a whole heap of others. We've got Brian Blessed, Gordon's. No, I won't do a Brian Blessed
cover. You get the Hamps to do it.
No, I'm not. I'll introduce Adrian to the Hamster when we meet again in Sheffield. But I think at the moment we.
You're not bringing that thing with you. We get chucked out.
Adrian, I have a hamster here called Hammy Hamster. He's a robotic hamster, and he's very cute. I think he's you think he's exactly, adorable. And yet he polarizes people. You know, there are people who basically think he's the spawn of the devil in the studio. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of line of things. I mean, I'll test it out and just see how you actually go on this basis. So we'll just say, hello, Adrian Tchaikovsky. You see, I think the diction of Hammy was perfect on that basis there. I mean, I don't know if it came across well, but, you know, I think it's... I'm being frowned at by Ben and Bethany. But, so, never mind. Have you been to a Sci-Fi Weekend before? What can we expect? Or is it a case of we're both going to be completely new to this grand event? And it's only part one, of course, because part two comes up later in the year in Great Yarmouth, I think.
I did go to the first few mm-hmm. when they started up years and years ago, but it's been a long time
since Wales, effectively?
That was, Spain. Yes, it was, well, actually, the very first one was in Camber Sands.
Oh, right.
Very, very windswept piece of wintry coast it was on, but that must be sort of 7 years ago or so now, so I suspect it changed beyond recognition. Mm.
Well, we're told that obviously it's a celebration of the number of years that the event has been going from. This is a 2-day event, Friday the 29th of March and Saturday the 30th of March. I'm sure that there'll be people desperately getting you to sign all sorts of other bits and pieces. And in the words of Sam Stone, without the authors, frankly, you can take your Brian Blessed, Sam Jones, Christopher Judge and Simon Fisher-Becker, and they're not going to have anything to read. You know, I mean, Sam Jones, without a script writer, pointless. Christopher Judge as Teal'c in Stargate SG-1, nobody's writing the script. It's not going to happen. So we'll be focusing obviously on writers and more from that point of view. Are you looking forward to it, Adrian?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's looking good. And I say, fingers crossed, hopefully later on in the year, you'll be back at the University of Lincoln as one of our official judges for our flash fiction competition that we're still kind of teasing through, etc. It's just, who knows what can be happening on that sort of basis, really. But anyway. Bethany, any questions you'd like to put to Adrian Tchaikovsky? And it has to be said, many of your cohort students from the third year, when they heard about Adrian Tchaikovsky's connection, they were very excited. So excited. Children of Time is probably the best book they've ever read.
Oh, I do have a question, actually. Your books, what sort of audience are they aimed at?
It varies to a certain extent. My fantasy work tends to be pitched to a bit of a broader demographic in that I think I know a lot of the readers I've got for the Shadows of the App series are kind of from the 30-knot young adult range, whereas the science fiction, I think I tend to pitch towards a more adult audience in terms of the language I use and things like that. But in all honesty, the young adults and the adults books, especially in sci-fi and fantasy, it's a very, very sort of a very, very fluid boundary. I mean, along a lot of the young adult fiction readers are adults and vice versa.
Yeah, I think you can appreciate science fiction sort of whatever age you are, really, to be honest. That's very interesting. Thank you.
It's a wonderful umbrella genre. Of course, we forgot to mention as well, at the Sci-Fi Weekend, we've got Cabaret from the Dark Room, the pop-up puppet cinema. Pop-up puppet cinema. I know. It's and the Imaginarium will be there. You've got bands, Doctor and the Medics. Well, they'll be going up to all range of things. Jolly Boat, Blues Harvest, Flesh Tetris and Professor Elemental. Probably not a real professor, has to be pointed out. You know, it's just,
and the hospital one wasn't an actual A&E.
I don't think, no, Doctor and the Medics is not actually something which actually...
they weren't, they're not St John's. There will be St John's ambulance there as well.
Whereas Adrian is a real doctor.
Exactly.
Although
exactly.
I wouldn't necessarily ask him to give you CPR if needed. But anyway.
We've got might know.
A retro gaming museum, we've got cosplay, we've got a whole heap of other goodies from that point of view. It is the scifiweekender.com if you want to find out further details about that. I'd say check out the Facebook site as well, but again, that's a whole range of things from that point of view. It's going to be awesome, as we know. And I do see, Adrian, you are literally underneath Brian Blessed, photography, photographically speaking, of course, in the poster. Just in case you were thinking, what have they done? Photoshop? I'm going to get my lawyer on this straight away. You've got Brian Blessed, you've got Sam Jones, you've got Christopher Judge, you've got Adrian Tchaikovsky there, and a whole heap of other fine folk as well. Are you surprised, Bethany?
No, nothing. That's
exactly. And there is a connection with Tchaikovsky, the composer, there in the dim and distant future. Actually, Adrian, I need to speak to your father again to talk about astronomy, which is another line entirely. But have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Adrian Tchaikovsky?
Yes, thank you very much for having me on.
And then, in which case, can we look forward to obviously seeing you at the end of the month, the end of March? And will you be happy to join us again, as well as the Midweek Drive bandwagon continues ever onwards, like some sort of crazy spider-driven evolutionary mad universe that we've got out there? Will you return?
Yes, sorry.
Excellent. Yeah, I know. So, Adrian, the shock of a hamster can often sort of put people into all sorts of other areas. We understand that. Coming up, Robin Pearce from Wales. Hopefully we'll also be speaking to Phil Linus in Los Angeles. But to take us around to that, well, we had Spain, we talked about Wales. What about Atlantis?
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the great flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores those beautiful sailors journeyed to the south and the North Americas with ease in their ships with painted sails. To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends. Though gods they were, and as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Pretty much know where Bethany and Ben will actually sit on this particular one, but I'll go straight to Eloise. Eloise, do you think we should actually have Hammy and his version of the Robin Pearce ident that we've created, that he spent all this afternoon in his hamster way
deeply sort of working on and making sure things are. What do you think?
It would be rude not to.
So to launch Robin into the programme, to welcome him to the Midweek Drive. He did so well to actually get that sort of through.
Yeah.
There you are. I mean, if you know,
W.C. Fields said, never work with animals or small children. He never said anything about working with an animal that sounds like a small child.
Yeah, I know. I'll just give you a little live one, because he's in the studio. Hello, Robin Pierce.
Hello, Robin Pierce.
Genius, you know, we can say no more, really. Anyway, he's very excited that you're with us, and we'll be doing all manner of bits and pieces. We hopefully will be joined by Phil Learness. Depends whether he's got back to his computer, or whether indeed that system is actually working now. But we'll just wait and see. All I've got on the Facebook site is, sorry, something went wrong. Many years ago. Too late to do anything from that point of view.
We've actually got socially interact for once.
Okay, while we're trying to fill time, you know I like trivia, right?
Yes.
We just listened to Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Donovan provided backing vocals on Alice Cooper's Billion Dollar Babies back in 1973?
Brilliant. You see, that's why he was a sunshine Superman. And so it goes. Okay, so we're at the stage where we're going to reveal who the winner of the first ever Midweek Drive Spring Song Contest is about. Bethany, I think I'll entrust with calculating things. Ben, you can also look at and see where numbers are in terms of the studio. So obviously we're going to go to Robin. But to take us around to that, a little reminder of where we actually started from with a little mini medley. So we started off, so many moments ago, with the joys of Ghosts of Social Networks with their latest release, which was this. Lucifer. Yep, Lucifer. Oh, well. Moved on to Rats, R-A-T-T-S, after, of course, the surname of Chris from the garage grunge group Rats. As if by magic, headed straight over to Nine Dot Finish with their somewhat cynical take on London. And frankly, because of the doubtless connection with Geoforce, Katana, Halo, Black Lightning, Batman, etc., it's got to be Batman and the Outsiders, but don't let me influence you. What they? It's the Outsiders from the Scent and Bombs. Out here on the edge, brews a bitter storm, freedom for the few who can't conform. And that is pretty much where we actually say farewell. Phil Leonis has actually emailed in saying, we changed our clocks. I've heard the whole show while waiting. Even had to listen to that unforgivable Donovan song about Atlantis. Sorry, I was choking the whole thing. Phil, you can call us now if you're listening. Call us via Skype. If you buy a computer, that's what we're waiting for. Sorry, that's a little plea from the heart there. Robin, in the studio, it would seem that they have given the award of 12 points to... Nine Dot Finish?
Yeah.
What about yourself, Robin?
Well, being that you asked, do you want my number one or do you want all four in ascending
order? I think we need all four, clearly. You know, that's
number four, I put Rats. It was a bit menacing. The opening reminded me of a bit of a Doctor Who theme. And it was, somebody's got to be fourth, and I'm afraid it was the Rats. Not that I disliked it, it's just that the one I liked least.
Hmm.
Number three, we have Nine Dart Finish. It reminded me a lot of the punk new wave songs of the late 70s, early 80s, when I was but a wee teenager, and rebellious too. Second place, I put Sent on Bombs because it was a good rocking anthem, and I would love to go to a gig where they close with that. And in number one, I put Ghosts of Social Networks. That song was intriguing, and it was a song that it's that type of music that I love writing to.
Well, there we are.
It was very close. So, you know, very close.
Yeah, although our results conflict with that of Robin's, I'm afraid.
Well, what were yours? Would you like to give the order? Because we just gave the winning line.
You did the honors.
Bethany?
Once again, not that we didn't like any of them, mm-hmm. but we had Sent on Bombs in fourth place.
In fourth place.
And then third, we had Rats. And second, we had Ghosts of Social Networks. And it was very close between the top two. And then, obviously, in first, we had Nine Dart Finish with London.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
What were yours, Alex? Come on. I bet you marked them. Come on.
It's
come on.
Very unfair.
No, no, you've had ours.
Unfair because you put me on the spot.
Exactly, and you had ours.
This is absolutely true. Okay, so I would probably have actually gone in fourth position for Garage Grunge Group, Rats. In third position, I would probably have gone for Ghosts of Social Networks. Second position, Nine Dart Finish. And the Outsiders with Sent and Bombs would have got my 12
really?
Points.
That's really? Interesting.
But then I'm a Batman and the Outsiders fan, you see. So, and there were so many...
Oh, so there'd be the biasy there behind it, wasn't there?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a way forward.
Get VAR in. Third on planet,
it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Okay, I'm not sure whether Phil is going to access us, but I will actually get Hammy to say that his last few words, which is quite heartfelt. Phil, please call us.
Please call us.
That's all we can actually say. Via Skype, of course, because Robin's online. Okay, moving dexterously onwards, Robin. We didn't speak last week about your fabulous features in Starburst magazine, so let's put that right straight away.
Right.
And that's been done there. That's exactly. So moving on from that to a movie that I've seen, might be going to go and see again with my students from the postgraduate program, Journalism and Contemporary Cinema. Bethany saw it over the weekend. Eloise hasn't seen it as yet. We're talking Captain Marvel.
No spoilers.
Even please. For the cat.
I know about the cat.
You know about the cat, exactly. So we know about Goose, that's okay. Is it thumbs up from the Pierce household?
It is absolutely thumbs up, yes. Captain Marvel is actually one of those characters where I haven't read much of it. I know that there have been a few different people in the role over the years in the comics.
You've got Monica Rambeau, who actually appears in her own sort of a cameo role in the whole thing.
Yeah.
You've obviously got the Kree Captain Marvel. You had, of course, the Negabands. I mean, I thought it'd be nice to see Rick Jones there. Personally, I'd like to see a remake of The Death of Captain Marvel, which is, frankly, probably one of the most emotionally charged comic book graphic narratives I've ever encountered, second probably only to the Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams, Green Arrow, Green Lantern episodes with Speedy being found to be a drug addict.
Really?
The clue is in the name.
Stacy? That really got me.
The death of Gwen Stacy. Well, I mean, once the Green Goblin kind of threw her over the bridge, she was gone around in any case, wasn't she, really? And it's,
well, yeah, but it was Spider-Man himself who caused the death by stopping her from hitting the water and snapping her neck. Back to Captain Marvel. Loved it. I thought, to begin with, you know, first 20 minutes, ooh. But as soon as she arrives on Earth with a crash and a bang and a wallop through a blockbuster roof, the film just sparkled and there's no looking back. I thought the digital de-aging of Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury
worked
wonderfully well. And it's not so well on Phil Coulson, though, I'm afraid. I thought, is he a mannequin? loved seeing the Skrulls. Now, what I would like to see them do next is perhaps a secret invasion. And I have a fanboy theory, which I will share with you. Could the presence of the Skrulls and their shape-changing imitation of just about any living thing play into what happens in Endgame? Were some of the missing heroes
actually scrolls.
Yeah.
Super-powered scrolls.
It could well be, couldn't
it? Yeah. And don't the scrolls look a bit like the Ferengi? I just want to notice the Ferengi scrolls. Scrolls, Ferengi, sometimes can be bad, sometimes humans, sometimes difficult, sometimes refugees.
Yeah, I didn't hear anybody say a rule of acquisition, though.
No, this is very true. Listen, I'm going to try and get Phil via telephone, so that means at this particular stage we're going to have to ask you those last two questions, and I'm going to ask Bethany to put them to you.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Always fun being with you guys.
Oh, and will you join us again sometime soon, please?
As soon as I can.
Of course, next week he's back with the Stone Tapes, I believe. So there we are. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah, I'll be around anyway, sir.
Whoa, it's just one darn thing after another. Meanwhile, out there somewhere...
I wish I was a spaceman, the fastest guy alive. I'd fly you round the universe in Fireball XL5. Way out in space together, conquerors of the sky. My heart would be a fireball, a fireball. Every time I gazed into your starry eyes, we take the path to Jupiter, and maybe very soon we cruise along the Milky Way and land upon the moon. To a wonderland of stardust, we'd zoom our way to Mars. My heart would be a fireball, a fireball, 'cause you would be my Venus of the stars.
Awesome, awesome. I wish he was a fireball. Conquerors of the universe, conquerors of the sky, all great, fantastic stuff. And now we can say, hello, Phil Linus. Glad you called in.
Yay! Oh, such fun, such delight, such a wonderful way in which we talk about a world in which it's a race to the finish between the United States of America and the Union of the United Kingdom in terms of who can be the laughingstock of world politics. We're moving for it. We're challenging. Yay!
Wow. I mean, that was actually something that was discussed earlier today after the Breakfast Club was just the astonishing reality that so many of the people who voted for Brexit are the people who are going to be hurt the most by it.
Yeah.
And indeed, how many people who voted for our president are the ones
bringing
most feeling the pain from the policy.
Martyrs, masochists, that's what we like in the 21st century. We want to give it all away.
But I did think that there was a really nice point on HBO's John Oliver a few weeks ago about how just the idea of the referendum was unfair to the British public, to the UK, because you theoretically we grow up thinking that we vote for our elected officials who are being paid to research these issues so that they can decide these things, not turn around and say to us, what should we do? That would be like going to the doctor complaining of stomach pain and the doctor saying, so what do you think? Should I take out your appendix or leave it? And you want to say to the doctor, I'm paying you. You do your job.
Don't abdicate responsibility. Remember, California, a large number of referendums, it's nearly bankrupted the state. So great news. It helps.
But we had a governor that actually took a bold leadership stance this morning and who by executive action declared an end to the death penalty in California. Something that in our referendums we have
been unable to do. No, it's never going to happen. Okay. Got to try this for you before we actually ask you for your thoughts on the show, and pleased to know that you've jumped forward or back in time.
It's all about the outsiders. Yeah. Although I keep getting confused about outsiders and the outsiders, whose Time Won't Let Me from the 60s was a theme song to one of my movies.
Of course. I was simply going to say, and we've piloted this earlier in the day, Phil, why did Aslan cross the road? Why did Aslan cross the road? Aslan. Aslan the Lion.
Oh, see, Cross.
Yes.
No, I know, and Cross has a Christian reference, and all of Aslan and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is Christian metaphor, but the punchline is escaping me.
Narnia business.
Narnia business. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. See, I was going to such a deeper place with that.
And yet you
brought it up to a modern culture level, and that's what I
exactly. So it's over to you, Phil. You've listened to the show. You can pass comments. You got your director's notes. I don't know why you didn't Skype in, but you know, you could have been part of the whole thing from when we
picked
off.
I have to have my studio sound equipment all set up, which I have at night, but as you know, during the day, it's committed to the Breakfast Club stuff.
Of course.
So, I have to actually have the equipment to be able to do it.
Well, anyway.
Otherwise, it's my phone. It's just my phone.
You heard the show. You heard Abigail in Spain, or was it Wales? You heard a variety of other places from that point of view. Where do you want to take us?
Where do I want to take you? I wanted to go a different place altogether, but I found the discussion actually with Dr. Tchaikovsky to be really interesting. I want to do one of these sci-fi weekenders, quite frankly, so I guess I better make something sci-fi again.
Mm-hmm.
But the writer's block and what he was describing about how you always have to go back and rework it even though you know... Even though you want it to work, like the first time you want it to be so right. And I related to so much of this pertaining to a storytelling show that I did on Monday, a live stage storytelling show, because I wanted my first draft to be so perfect. But like him, I write long, which I'm glad for, because it does make the rewriting process better because I'm able to hone down. But that would be my advice to any writer who's facing a block is, honestly, it doesn't matter what you write. Just write something. Even if it's rubbish, get it down. Because from that point on, you are rewriting. And rewriting is so much more enjoyable and so much easier than writing.
Does that help, Bethany?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely a long writer too. I write quite long-winded and then have to go back and cut down. But I think that's so much easier than finding words. Like editing is, I think, my favourite part.
Does it help, Ben?
Exactly, because once you read it back, what is good, the thoughts that are really worthy of exploration will stand out as if they'd been marked with a highlighter pen. And you'll know where the gold is to explore.
Does that help, Ben?
Yeah, I completely agree, actually. And I think, if anything, going long-winded helps you generate further ideas.
Mm.
Allows your thought process to go further than it would do if you bound it and restricted it.
Does it help, Eloise?
Yeah, that does. That means I can just go home and write nonsense.
Right,
and it's fine, because I can just edit it.
Now, hands up in the studio, and you're at home as well. Not in a car, because it could be dangerous if you're not driving. Or even if you are driving, certainly. Or if it's driverless. If you've got Amazon Prime... Yeah. Ben, no Amazon Prime.
No.
Well,
Netflix. That's my go-to.
Two people in the studio, Bethany and Eloise, can now find Phil Leonis as Dean Hadlands, The Truth Is Out There, Comedy Consciousness Conspiracy, included on Amazon Prime, completely free. Yay! No longer do we have to get Phil Leonis over to Britain to screen it in a whole screen, to actually see the whole thing. You can watch it on your tablets and there. And, of course, I'm expecting you to do this before next week.
Out there is out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is news to me. So the pirated The Truth Is Out There is out there.
Yeah. This is legit.
No, I mean,
this
I
is
imagine,
Jeff Bezos.
I imagine
this is his company.
At some point, yeah, Jeff Bezos will send me a nice check.
Oh, yeah. It's got 3.5 stars, which is great. Dean Hagland et al. Actually starring Dean Hagland. Dean Hagland twice. I wasn't aware he was cloned for this particular piece.
Well,
nice.
I mean, he is so good. Let's face it, you've seen it. He's so good he deserves being mentioned twice.
Precisely. Directed by Phil Leonis and a running time of 2 hours 24 minutes. If that doesn't make you go for Amazon Prime, Ben, I quite frankly don't know what we ever will, really.
I have access to it. I do have access to it. It's just Netflix.
Just
team up. team up with your co-presenters and have a viewing party. What could be better? And then we'll do a sing-along about it in the future. You know, I'm attending the first screening of that movie in quite some time, Alex, with Dean in Rhode Island at the end of April, and we are going to finally, for the first time, reveal some of the edited footage of part two.
Way. Yeah. You're sandwiched in terms of the list here, when I just pulled up The Truth Is Out There, between Out There from 1995 and Mr. Robot Season 2, also Out There. So, two interesting things. With, of course, your favourite actor and Freddie Mercury personification, of course.
I always was a big Rami Malek fan. I was championing him as early as Short Term 12, which was, of course, Brie Larson's breakthrough. They cast that Stephanie Beatriz of Brooklyn Nine-Nine was in that. They cast that movie so excellently. He's fantastic as Mr. Robot. It's one of the all-time great performances. And yes, his Freddie Mercury is maybe the worst performance ever to win any award ever. So, there you go.
It swings and roundabouts quite clearly on this wonderful, joyous world.
It takes truly talented people to do horrible work. I've always maintained that. Because you're trying things.
And if you don't, if you prepare to fail, failure is not falling down, it's staying down. Another such pithy message.
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. That's
precisely.
Only an actor as gifted as Clark Gregg could have such horrible age-reversing CGI.
There you are. I'm almost tempted to ask you for a number between 1 and 25 again and bring back Mike Dooley, but maybe not, because that polarised people in all sorts of hamster ways. Bethany, any final little questions you'd like to put to the Leonis Meister?
Oh, I did have
one. Oh, my God.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Do you prefer writing or directing?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, both.
You know what? You know what is interesting is that's actually a very, very good question. I appreciate you asking that, because I always maintained that writing was the thing I could not do without, even when I thought, okay, I just can't handle this business anymore. I'm going to quit this business. I'm too smart. I can do other things. I found that I still always was driven to write, that was part of me. And now I must say that it would be directing.
I still can't believe that Phil Leonis said I even had to listen to that unforgivable Donovan song about Atlantis. I mean, surely that's one of the essence.
That is ridiculous. That, I swear, I thought, I had to check, because I wanted to make sure, was this not a song from This Is Spinal Tap? But no, that was Stonehenge, not Atlantis. But that has to be what Spinal Tap is parodying, don't you think?
Come now. It's deep mythological key sort of thoughts.
My goodness. It's William, it's Joseph Campbell meets Rod McCune. Yeah.
It's all right, Bethany. Don't worry. It's just Donovan speaking to us in the background.
Really just, eerie. It's so creepy.
It's so great an area.
Doesn't Shatner? Shatner needs to do a version of that.
It's a tough call, actually, because, I mean, obviously, with seconds to go, do we actually mention the awesomeness that clearly Ben thought I was obsessed with before?
You are obsessed with Shatner.
And Hammy Hempster. What's wrong with that? Anyway.
My spoken word piece on Monday night was largely about William Shatner.
Exactly. And we only have a matter of seconds before we actually have to find out what that was. So we can't. So we have to. And I'm presuming, what are you doing tomorrow morning when Richard Fitzwilliams will be talking about Captain Marvel and the aftermath, and we'll have Rosie Crust from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society in, and we'll have Ellie Sample, and probably Eloise Sheehan.
I'll be here.
And Rory McGowan, and even Emma Street might be with us, and Gabriella Peralta.
Oh, do we have enough people and enough space to cater for everyone?
We've got breathing space on the midweek drive.
Yeah.
A bit more room on the midweek drive morning edition.
We shall see.
And we're going to Singapore as well. Will you be joining us, Phil?
There isn't enough breathing space when Richard and I get together.
Well, that's very true, of course.
No, what will I be doing? I will be sound asleep, nuzzling with Buzz Aldrin.
Too much information. I was going to say, just hold full fire on that. You know, it's all great stuff then. We will hopefully then need to ask you those last two questions. Bethany, go for it.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes. When do we begin?
Oh, brilliant. And
What's the next question, Eloise?
Will you be joining us again soon?
Straight win there, you see. We've had transference of brains here.
I will be back on the midweek drive in a fortnight, and hopefully I can make it to the morning edition a week hence.
Well, you see, that's it. And don't forget, chillpackhollywood.com is a go-to place. You won't find out any details in terms of the socials, unless, of course, Zuckerberg sorts of sing through and all.
Except that here's the problem. Here's the problem. You know that it is an hour later. That's why the nighttime today is. I don't know when you change your clocks. We change ours ridiculously early.
End of March. We swing forward to the end of March.
So the morning edition becomes just really, really difficult because it's 1 a.m. then for me.
March and October, isn't it?
Yes. It's what you call time, an illusion at the best of times. That's it. We're out of here. The news is coming up. Thanks to everybody. Keep on keeping on. Happy trails. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Siren Radio. Lincoln.